The Urvogs and Ursars were first. By fusing our blood with common wolves and bears, we transformed them, made them stronger and faster and smarter, granting them immunity to common steel and a bloodlust that fired their limbs. But when we open the doors to other worlds, summoning other kindreds to serve as our slaves and soldiers, we learned how to create powerful servants. For our blood, when fused with the blood and souls of lesser kindred, gives them power. Such creatures possess great cunning and greater strength and are our most effective servants. Yet though the power in their blood compels them to obedience, the stronger their will, the more likely it is that they will hate our domination and seek to escape it. You would do well, my disciple, to heed this lesson, lest it destroy you. The Warden of Erd Morlamok. Chapter 1. The Soul Stone. 55 days after it began, 55 days after the day in the year of our Lord 1478, when blue fire filled the sky from horizon to horizon, Ridmar Carban moved in silence through the twilight forest. He had spent years travelling through the Wilderland's forests, but this time he did not go alone. Late spring had given way to early summer, and the branches of the trees over Ridmark's head were heavy with green leaves. A thick layer of fallen leaves covered the floor of the forest, though they made no noise beneath Ridmark's quick footsteps. The only sound was the buzz of insects and the faint whisper of the wind against the trees, the air heavy with the smells of wet earth and grass. He certainly did not hear the movements of the woman next to him, and if he did not glance at her from time to time, he would quickly lose track of her position. Marigna was about 20, her long black hair tied back into a thick tail, her hard black eyes stark against her pale face. She wore leather boots, trousers, and a well-worn leather jerkin, a cloak of tattered grey and brown strips hanging from her shoulders. Her wooden staff, carved with odd sigils, had been slung over her shoulder, its leather strap clenched diagonally across her chest. In her hands, she held a short hunting bow, an arrow ready. She moved through the trees and over the tangled branches without a hint of sound. She was even better at it than Ridmark. Part of it was that she was 50 or 60 pounds lighter than he was, and so made less noise. A bigger part of it was that she had spent nearly every day in the woods since she had been a child, had spent years surviving on her own. Of all those who had followed Ridmark since the day of the Great Omen, Marigna was the best choice for what he had in mind. Carl Acton, Gavin and Caius could move quietly enough, but next to them, Marigna was a ghost. Caliand could move with stealth, but her magic would not be as useful if the patrols found Ridmark. And Jagger, the halfling, moved like a shadow, but he was more comfortable in a city, and ever since they had left Coldinium, he had been staring at the trees like he expected them to grow claws and attack. Marigna stopped. For just a moment her black eyes closed and her face turned towards the dimming sky. Then she nodded, opened her eyes, and kept moving. She had certain other useful skills. They climbed the wooded slope, moving from tree to tree. Ridmark had his staff slung over his shoulder, the enchanted axe the Talcaz of Coldinium's dwarven enclave had given to him hanging from his belt, his own bow ready in his hands. He was not as good a shot as Marigna, though if necessary, he could put a shaft through a man's throat. Ridmark hoped it would not come to that. He did not want to kill any of Sir Paul Tormain's men, not if he could help it. They might not know about Sir Paul's allegiance to the Enlightened of Incariel, might not know about the Dux Tarabas Carhane's treachery. And, from a more practical note, killing one man might alert the others.